Welcome back to the provocative world of cis society, where we fearlessly embrace taboos around sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality, and dive headfirst into the shadow. And this is Taboo Talks, where no topic is off limits. Continue to join us as we expand our compassion and embrace and integrate our shadows, bringing us to the light. Okay, so there's been something really present in conversation for both Elfina and I. So today we decided to kind of go off the cuff together, and it's around masculine and feminine energies. How are we feeling about them in our body? How are they shifting on the planet? Where are we in the evolution of our relationship to them? And it felt important to bring on a human who has a penis to balance out the energies in the conversation. So without further ado, it is my honor to introduce our guest and conversation collaborator, Corwin. Corwin is an artist and builder who constructs sacred spaces in devotion to the goddess. With a more intuitive, organic approach, he creates spaces that heal and transform the psyche of all who enter these womb caverns. He also leads community couples councils and masculine feminine healing circles to help heal collective and historic trauma inherited from the earth and generations of suppression and violence. It is such an honor to have you, darling. Welcome to the show. And hi.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
We have all had, like, last night, Elfina and I, Corwin, were having a side conversation, and we were really getting hyped up about this. And I was at one point, I was like, okay, I think that we should, like, contain some of the energy and bring it to the show today. Like, I don't want to get out all of our, like, channel, like, clear our channel completely of everything. But I would love to just, like, start with you, Elfina, and just if you feel comfortable sharing what's been. I'm also going to take this background off right now, guys. I want to be present with you, and it's really taking me out of the present moment. But I would just love to hear what's been coming through your body and your channel around masculine and feminine energies, constructs, definitions, and then we can just jump off from there.
So for me, it's really interesting because I've been using these words masculine and feminine for quite some time now. It's like very common to read about them online, especially with certain people I follow on Instagram. Divine masculine, divine feminine. Masculine's role is this, feminine's role is this. And I never really questioned it. I was kind of like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. I resonate with all that. And in my current relationship, it's been really expansive for me to be in because there's so many new perspectives that we both ignite within one another. And one of those perspectives that my partner has been showing me is how limiting certain words can be, especially when it comes to the words masculine and feminine. And in my heart of hearts, I know that there are polarities. Like that feels very real and very true for me, and something that feels very undeniable. The polarities of light and shadow, the polarities of day and night, yin and yang, Shakti and Shiva. These are other terms maybe we could use for masculine and feminine. But especially when we were going into the gender identity taboo topic that month, that also really peeled back more layers of how these terms that we use can really be exclusive for people that don't resonate with those words and those titles. And it can also put a lot of pressure on people who do resonate with those titles to be a certain way. And as I've been feeling more into it and looking back at some of these people that I follow, who I really adore and revere with this different lens and perspective, I'm starting to realize that most of what they say, a man's this, a woman's this, I'm noticing that it can be easily reversed. Like a woman also does that, and a man also does that. And in my relationship, I see so much mirroring. And although there are definite differences that I'm an advocate about, I mean, not just the genitalia, there's brain chemistry differences, there's hormonal differences. I'm a hormonal teacher, so I'm not denying that there is a vast myriad of differences. However, I think that the collective narrative has been more focused on the differences. And I feel what we're moving towards is focusing on more of the similarities and also recognizing that the differences, the perceived differences, are typically imbalances that actually lie within us, and that full spectrum of polarity resides within every single person, regardless of their genitalia. And so using terms like masculine and feminine to me have felt limiting recently, because I feel like although that those polarities reside within all of us, most people, when they read these words, and even myself knowing that on a conscious level, I see the word masculine and I automatically think that's a man. And I see the word feminine, I automatically think that's female, and that's something that resonates with me or is about me versus a feminine energy. So I guess I'm just curious, is like, we're word witches and warlocks, and how can we maybe write a new narrative that liberates us from this division and this pressure and roles that we are kind of rigidly, that we've been rigidly placed into? And how do we take more responsibility and not be like, oh, well, this is a man's role to fulfill this in my life? And how do we rewrite these narratives to be more empowering and inclusive? And that's kind of where I'm standing. So maybe one of you can take it from here and share how you're feeling around my share.
Yeah, I feel like to start, you use the word witch, which I think is a interesting word that has also been reclaimed in a lot of ways. And the thing is, we have to honor the past and the future as well as the present in reclaiming words. Even the word queer had negative connotation. And so kind of re-owning these words that have had a standard meaning and reclaiming them in our bodies to create new, well, because the words do exist. And so I think having a new perspective, or unwinding a perspective that has been dominating the world, which has been very much under a patriarchy. And so these words also have been conformed to the patriarchy as well. And how do we like look at them from a new lens to find our own empowerment?
I feel like, I mean, I love what you said. It was like comparable to what was moving through my channel, of course. I love the telepathy connection between us. But yeah, I think for me, like, I hear you, Elfina, and wanting to kind of dissolve the attachment to the word masculine and feminine. And what I feel coming through my channel in this now moment is more of a redefining the narrative, like redefining the words and redefining what they mean and moving through the world in a different way, and recognizing that these words have been attached to, like, as Corwin said, like the patriarchy and oppression, and ultimately a disconnection between the masculine and the feminine. And I'm very open to having this conversation head in the direction of getting creative around a potential rewrite. But as you spoke it, like, what feels super true for me as well, Elfina, is that these like polarities exist within us. And I believe it's part of our duty, honor, privilege to get to like balance these polarities and to love both of the poles within us, yin, yang, sun, moon, masculine, feminine, however you want to write it, to kind of like come into a holy union with ourself, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to hold the night and the day, to be able to hold like the left and the right, to be able to hold like the right and the wrong, just to like be able to kind of merge these two together, I believe is like the inner divine union. And yeah, that's my stance. Mm-hmm. That's my micro stance right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe that those polarities reside within us, and it is about balancing and resurrecting the divine union template within first and foremost. Absolutely. I'm curious to hear what you guys think about some of these new age, you know, teachers online who write a lot about polarity. I'm not going to put anyone specifically on here, but who will write things like, men in their wounds do this, women in their wounds do, you know, these posts that we see that are always using the words men, woman, masculine, feminine, that seem very like rigid, as in this is the way that it is with them, this is the way that it is with them. These are their roles. These are their wounds. And I'm curious because I do, when I read these, oftentimes I resonate and I'm like, wow, this is really resonant. I feel like this is the truth. But then if I kind of challenge myself and I go back and I flip the words around and I put feminine where masculine is, then I'm also like, oh, this is also true. You know, for instance, I was listening to this podcast and he was talking about a man's devotion and how a man can only be as devotional to a woman as he is to his dharma. And I was, yeah, that's true. That's true. But then I was thinking about, well, a woman can only be as devotional to a man as she is to her dharma. And I started really swapping these terms around and finding that most of the times when I swapped them, they felt equally as true, equally as resonant, and not just from my own intuition, but from what I'm experiencing also in my relationship and in my life. So I'm curious if you think teachings like this can actually be harmful for people reading them and could cause more confusion or stress or pressure because people are having certain expectations around what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, I love the way that your brain works because you asked the question and then you answered it so beautifully. And like passing it to us, I was like, wow, her brain's just great. Like you immediately just kind of piece together everything. I mean, something that's coming through, and Corwin and I were talking about this last night, is like how the pendulum swings from one extreme to the other as like the collective is creating balance in some sort of area. And this applies to masculine and feminine energies. And I think these extremes are a part of that pendulum swinging to one side, right? To ultimately like correct the imbalance that was there through the patriarchy and through the separation between the masculine and feminine polarities. And so I think like, even though it like on the surface, it can seem really like intense and sharp and definitive, I feel like it's there for a reason to kind of say like, whether it's like an external masculine or the masculine in you, like these polarities kind of need to get balanced. Like we need to find balance within ourselves. So, I mean, I read it with a grain of salt and kind of interpret it in a different way. But to answer your question specifically, I think it, I don't want to say it can be dangerous, but I do think that people can misinterpret it and take it to an extreme. And I just feel super hippie right now, but I just feel like that's part of their journey, you know, like they're just like meant to take it to one extreme and fall and learn something from it. And like, again, like in their own inner pendulum journey. Does that land? Does that make sense? Okay.
I very much feel like we are products of our culture. And so we're also in the unwinding of what our culture has told us is a man and what our culture has told us is a woman. And I think there is also needs to be honor that those are two identities as well as non-binary, and honoring that there are difference in those identities, and we can also change the enculturation that we've had about those identities and what it is to be a man and what it is to be a woman, as well as anywhere in between that area. And so I think some of those quotes or comments have their value if we just as like also in the unwinding of like choosing to identify as a man, we can kind of unwind our old enculturation and embody a new enculturation of what we choose to live and be. But those can be interchangeable, but also like I think there is differences in the binary as well within our culture that we can't deny as of now, of between a man and a woman who identifies as a man and identifies as a woman without like also honoring the in-between space of those genders. But like learning to identify as that and embody that, and then also change the cultural narrative of what that means as well, I think is important.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, a few things were coming up in regards to friends that I have that identify as non-binary, queer, and the conversations I've had around them. And like, I'm just starting to kind of connect the dots in this moment. But the first woman that I met years ago who like identified as queer, I asked her like why, like she chose to identify and with that term. And she said it was to like reclaim her power. And I was like, okay, thank you for sharing. And then another one of my friends and I were having a conversation recently, and I was like, oh, like, what brought you to this like non-binary space of kind of living in the liminal and like the in-between? And she discussed how she felt like an immense amount of like pressure and oppression and attachment to like having to be in like her feminine or like having to choose to be fully in her masculine. And she kind of felt suffocated by it. So I can see also like I wonder on like a grander scale if the universe is like, you know, trying to create balance in this way, like through these souls being incarnated, because there's been like these pressurized roles, like where a woman was like, you know, or an individual was born with a vagina and just like had to be a woman and had to like walk and talk and be a certain way. And there was this innate kind of core wound built in. And then the same with the masculine on the flip side. And yeah, I'm finding this current unraveling in my mind pretty interesting. I'm curious what you guys think around what just came through.
Well, it's interesting that you're talking about these rigid roles of the past of women needing to be, you know, stay-at-home moms, for instance, the stereotype, and the men needing to be the breadwinners, and how it feels that we're progressing out of those roles in so many ways and coming into a place of more equality. And I guess for me, when I see a lot of this new age polarity teaching, it feels almost like similar to that, but instead of physical roles, it's almost like a spiritual role now that we're being assigned. And again, I'm kind of playing devil's advocate here because I've been really into all of this and been really resonant with all of this of I'm the oracle and he's the warrior and I'm the visionary and he's the manifester, and I'm just really feeling that that's although that can be true, like I think there's a place for that to be true. And I feel like equally there's a place for that to also be like, I'm also the warrior and he's also the oracle. And when I'm thinking about it like that, it actually feels so much more expansive in my body because I don't feel like I just have to be the stay-at-home mom. I can also be the breadwinner. Like I can be the visionary and I can also be the manifester. And if I'm looking in my life, I am both. I do wear both hats. I am in both roles. So I don't feel like it's inherently wrong what they're saying. I just wish there was more inclusivity for us being all of it. Like I really, this is what's strongly coming through my channel. It's like if we go back to being labeling what we are, like I kind of feel like that's almost going backwards when we were kind of assigned roles. And I don't want to be assigned a role. I want to be set free from labels and roles. And that's not to say that there's not differences, and that's not to honor that there's strengths and weaknesses, but I think that more than there are differences, in gender, it's like more, there's more, just more differences in every human being. Like everyone is individual and everyone is unique. And some of us in a female body with a yoni have more polarity in our masculine energy, and we want to go be the breadwinner and we want to be more of the manifester. And some of us with the yoni have more feminine energy, and some of us are really balanced. You know, maybe you resonate with more of these teachings, Heather, because you feel you're more in your feminine energy. And maybe I feel like I want more equality because I feel more, I'm kind of like in the middle. I kind of feel like I'm like half and half. And maybe other people listening, they have a penis, but they feel really feminine and they want to more, liberation from them needing to be the warrior, right? And the provider. Maybe they're like, well, I actually really feel like I'm this visionary and that's, and I'm an oracle and that's where I really shine. And I just need space to feel safe with a partner so I can blast off in my visionary. And maybe they're with a woman who has a yoni and she is more in her, you know, present warrior. So I just want to create more inclusivity for that we get to be all of it. And I really feel like we're moving into an age that as we resurrect this divine union template from within, we can switch and we can move around on that spectrum and we're not limited. And it's not this and that. Like it's not saying the polarities don't exist, but it's giving us more freedom to move around on that polarity spectrum, regardless of our gender.
Yeah, wow, thank you. I really love that. And I think, like, I think the moral of a story for me right now, after your share, Alfina, is that, like, we're meant to move in and out of these polarities and truth in the moment and honor our bodies and honor what feels good, right? Like, I feel like if you're feeling like suffocation, resistance, oppression, you're not feeling good in a space because you were like born into a female body and you feel this pressure to be female, but you actually have just been connecting to another energy. I feel like that's yours to honor and that's your journey. And it's really important to like listen to that voice. And you know, you talk a lot about being a switch, and I feel the same way. I feel like both of these energies, like there's not ultimate equality because like it's ever transforming, ever evolving, ever moving animal. It's this animal of perpetual transformation. And the more that I honor that, the softer it is, right? Like I can go from being like in a traditional like feminine essence of receiving and like being the oracle to the next second going into like masculine structure organization, let's do this. So like I feel like every day I'm dancing with both dimensions and both energies in me. What do you think, Cor?
Yeah, I feel like this world is full of so many vibrant colors and all types of expression, and I think that makes the beauty alive. And I also feel like there to just honor the presence of choosing a pole as well, because and not that some people can choose anywhere within that pole, but in my life I was good at a lot of different things, but I never really mastered one thing. And it took me like 10 years ago that I was going to choose one thing to devote myself to and my life to, and that I could really dive into that and master that. And through that, like, you have access to everything in a certain way. And so I think there, with what I'm saying, is like there is also power in choosing a pole, whether it's in a moment with someone else or in your life, and choosing, like, I'm going to be in this masculine pole, and that then can also magnetize in equal strength a feminine energy that complements it. And so choosing that pole, I think, can also create a mass amount of healing, whatever pole that is in your body, and like devoting yourself to that, choosing an identity, choosing whoever you want to be, and devoting yourself to a life of that that feels aligned with yourself. I know that I feel devoted to being a man, which doesn't mean I conform to like society's idea of being a man, but I choose that pole because it feels like aligned with like the energy that I want to bring to this life. So I think within, and the power of that too is, yeah, like the life does exist in duality. There's like the more space that we create, like the Shiva and Shakti is very much the space and the form within that space, and they both exist within each other and also simultaneously, but then complement each other. So by choosing a pole, it doesn't actually mean choosing the drastic, like, opposite. You're within, like, choosing to be a masculine, a man, is also, like, you're also within the feminine, and then the feminine is within the masculine, and, like, it's, like, this intricate fractal of complexity within that as well. But choosing to master one thing as holding a ground and embodying a specific energy, I think, has healing a benefit for the world as well.
Can you explain a little bit more about choosing an identity? Because I guess what I'm hearing is like you are devoting yourself to being in your masculine polarity like all the time. And then, I mean, is that what you're saying, that you don't really allow yourself to be in your feminine polarity because you're devoted to being in your masculine polarity?
Well, I think that's what I was speaking to, the fractals within fractals, because I choose to be a man, but all at the same time, there is feminine and masculine energy within me. And so, I mean, the myth of Shiva and Shakti is that they can't live without each other, that they are within each other, and that they also give life to each other. And so within choosing to be Shiva, you also become Shakti at the same time. And so within the fractal of being a man, there is all the energies of being, like, of the feminine as well, which will do that balance itself out. And that's like the constant dilemma of understanding this reality. It's like everything exists and nothing exists at the same time, and everything exists within itself, but also everything is separate and individual as well. It's kind of
what I'm hearing is that there's like this idea that the more you polarize in one direction, you're simultaneously also polarizing yourself in the other. Kind of like the more we go into the shadow, the more capacity we have to be in the light. Is it like this a similar idea?
Yeah, because I'm creating a pole for the feminine, because I'm choosing to anchor in the masculine. I'm also, it's creating a magnet for feminine energy inside of me as well. I think it's an interesting, probably, like, concept of quantum physics that exists.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that idea. What I'm like feeling from what you're sharing, what we guys are both sharing, which is so rich and delicious, is that I don't think there's like a one way to do this. I think that this polarity journey is really unique. And for you, Corwin, what you found is really helpful is to be more on this end of polarity, which is opening up this end of polarity for you. So you're able to be in that full spectrum by actually staying more on one side. It opens up the full spectrum, which is a beautiful approach. And I think the way that I'm doing this polarity dance is going here. And then as I'm here, my partner's here. And then I go there and he goes there. And then I go there and he goes there. And, you know, I don't think there's a lesser or a better or a right or a wrong. I think that it depends on the people and what they feel more comfortable in. Like if you're here, maybe you're polarizing with a partner who's here and that's where you guys feel comfortable and you're able to hold those poles. But like if you're with a partner who wants to switch back and forth with you, then you can still hold those poles, but you're taking turns holding the poles. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that either. And I think that there's more and more of relationships that are like that now. And I think that I'm just feeling a deep message to speaking to people who are in relationships where they don't want to just be in one pole all the time, that there's nothing wrong with that either. And I think that it can be just as healing and just as powerful and just as transformative and all of that as deciding to hold in one pole. And I don't think there's anything wrong with holding a pole either, if that's what you feel called to do. I kind of think it's just a personal choice. As long as you're like, and we can't help it. That's the thing. It's like a subconscious thing. As you move into one direction, you're automatically going to polarize the person that you're around. And it's not even a thing that we are like consciously thinking of. It just happens. So if you want to switch, but if you don't want to switch, don't switch.
I think I've become more aware of it. So it's definitely moved from my subconscious into my conscious mind, you know, these like of these poles and shifting between them. But what I've noticed in my body that feels best, like despite this like ever kind of morphing, shifting energetic dance, is that I feel best being in a space of receiving, or like, you know, as one would traditionally put, like being in my feminine. Like I feel soft, I feel safe, I feel clear, I feel held. And then I also am like great at moving into like a giving space and a commanding space and a directional space. But I think like for me right now in my life, it kind of looks like I keep seeing like 80-20. Like that's like my preferred percentage to like be in the receiving 80% of the time, and then 20% of the time be like in full blown, like, let me contain this space mode. And like you were sharing, I like, it's so different for everyone. And I don't think there's like one universal answer. I think we could get on like 15 more guests and everyone will have a really unique take on this. Maybe we're meant to discuss this next month. Like maybe this is the soft introduction of our next topic.
And I'm all, yeah, I mean, this is, this just keeps going and it's so nuanced. And I guess what I want to ask you guys and open up the conversation into now is, what other words or concepts besides masculine and feminine could we use to describe these poles? Could we use to describe these energies?
Ooh, ooh, pick me.
Yeah, you, Heather.
Teacher, I want to go. See me, hear me. Well, okay, so I actually was spending time with a sister of mine, and the way that she described it, I really loved it. And she said, when my partner, like, is, like, she described it as fire and water. I mean, very similar to sun and moon, right?
I love
and
that.
And it worked just for, like, general polarity purposes, because they, like, ultimately kind of, like, put each other out and create, like, steam, and it's a very clearing energy. But specifically when they were, like, yeah, when they were in confrontation, they would use it. She'd be like, if he's in his fire, I will bring my water. And, like, vice versa. And they had this, like, really clear lingo about how they, like, shifted it. And, you know, come to think of it, in my relationship with her, we've never, like, said masculine or feminine. We've just always used other terms and understood them. So that's, like, those are a few that really resonate with me. I mean, dom and sub is, like, a kinky, sexy way of something that I like, because I mean, we're perpetually in dom and sub mode, right? Like, we're shifting back and forth in every moment, depending on who's speaking, where our attention is. We lost Corwin.
He'll be back.
He'll be back. But yeah, so dom, sub, water, fire.
I love the water fire so much. Yeah, and I have so much fire in my chart. So, and I've learned to bring more water to balance my own elemental elemental constitution. Yeah, and I think that it's not throwing away these terms, masculine and feminine, but it's creating more of an open conversation and inclusivity into other terms. I wish that I would go online and see more people posting things around the water energy is this, the fire energy is this, the
maybe
yin
you're meant
energy
to do that.
Is this, the moon energy is this, the sun energy is this, because I think everyone can connect with the sun and everyone can connect with the moon. Everyone can connect with water and everyone can connect with fire. And it would be a more expansive place to receive these messages. And I think that it would, that transmission would really land with more people in a way that felt more honest and resonant with them, because those terms wouldn't block or, you know what I'm saying? It wouldn't.
No, totally. I feel like there's so much, there's a lot of tenderness. There's a lot of sensitivity around these, like, terms because of where we're coming from. And we like, I would love to get to this point of what you speak into, Elfina, where, like, everything is, like, soft and fluid and there's, like, no, like, physical word attachments to things. But I think just based on where we are now, like, we still have these words. And I think it's about redefining them, about using other words that feel more resonant and kind of just being with what is. It's kind of like going straight from, like, a war to, like, I want world peace. It's like, wait, we have to first grapple with, like, the grief that, like, that happened from the war. And I feel like that's kind of where we are right now with these masculine feminine polarities. And maybe you're meant to share these, like, these nuances and textures around the masculine and feminine, right? Like, you're saying it's not out there and you're speaking into it in this moment. So, like, can't wait to see your first post on it. Lego.
Yeah. This feels, this kind of feels like my mission with, I mean, this was coming up a lot during the gender identity month as well, moving beyond these terms. But also, in order to do that, we need terms to recognize where we've been and to get there. We can't just fully jump out of this place of language, because the language is what people understand. But this reminds me of a little bit of a tangent, but it does relate. This reminds me of this feeling of the words polyamory and monogamy that have felt really limiting to me when I read posts about that as well. And for months and months and months, I've been having this conversation with others, my partner. I'm just like, I don't resonate with being monogamous, but I don't resonate with being polyamorous. I feel like I'm just my unique person. I feel like sometimes I have traits of both, but then I'm also in my own unique way of relating, and I'm a devotee to love. But I didn't really have a term or a word that people could understand. So I felt limited. Like I had to choose these polarizing views and terms that other people could put me into a box and understand me better by, but none of them really felt resonant. And I'm feeling the same thread in this conversation too. And then just very recently, my friend sent me this article about navagamy, which is this term for conscious relating, that you can be whatever on the spectrum. You can go back and forth and pick pieces of everything as long as it's coming from a place of conscious choosing and not just how, not out of fear or how you're raised to relate. And then I finally felt like, hallelujah, like there's a real term out there that other people can understand the way that I view love and relating. And so I would love for there to be a revolution around this idea too, with masculine and feminine. And I just really want to speak on behalf of all of those queer, non-binary, gender fluid people out there, because I mean, I resonate as being pretty heterosexual. I would say I'm fluid-ish. I am fluid, but I would say I'm more on my heterosexual side. And if I'm feeling this way around masculine, feminine, I can only imagine how people out there who are homosexual, who are queer, or all these things, how they're feeling. You know, it must just be really frustrating for a lot of these people. And I would just love to, find some new language. I would just love to find some new language. And it's not to say that we can't use masculine and feminine, but if those are the only terms we're using to describe these polarities, it seems limiting. Like, why not use the vast, vast amount of words we have out there? There's so many beautiful metaphors and there's so many words that we can choose. So why not just add more ways of including people? Again, we don't need to throw out masculine and feminine, but why not just bring in more ways of understanding and relating, you know?
Yeah, I guess I feel, I mean, I hear that. I think I feel a little overwhelmed when you say that. I feel like I would love to just like minimize it all and say like, you are what you are. Like you are who you are and you like what you like. And like, why do we have to define it? You know, for example, like I love humans, like male, female, doesn't matter. I'm just like into what I'm into in the moment and I feel it. And every time my mom is like introducing me to her friend, she's like, this is my daughter. She's a bisexual. And I'm like, thanks, mom. And I can see that these terms like support her in her dimension in her world where she is. But for me, they've always felt limiting. So like, I honestly can't grapple like with someone who like, it, you know, is like really like fully claiming this is their identity. So like, I have compassion, but I also like don't have full understanding because I haven't walked a mile in your shoes. But I can only imagine the frustration, as Elfina said, of like figuring that out and try, like, you know, especially with all of this talk of like a man must be this and a woman must be this and you must be this and you have to be this, and just being like, wait, but I feel different. And like, how do
and
I
what if it's two men in a relationship? How do they even decipher a post like that?
Yeah.
If I was a homosexual man reading all these posts, I'd be like, well, where do I fall in this? Like, what am I? I don't know. And I know that they lie within all of us, but reading a post like that, if it was written sun and moon, I feel that that would just speak to so many more people. Don't know. I'm feeling like
I desire compassion around like the sharing of these posts. Like that's what I'm calling for right now, you know, and something that came through when this whole, like, I'm looking for a king and only a king movement started, you know, like 5 years ago, I felt a deep disresonance. And like, I felt like if a woman is consistently sharing around a man that she wants a king and she's not choosing that man, that that's degrading and minimizing towards that man. And I like started to speak into it in my community. I was like, that doesn't feel good. You know, it's like, I understand you're claiming that, but like, it's implicative of lack. It's like, there's a lack mentality in built into that, that like the men that are in your life aren't enough. And like only this type of man can show up in it. And I feel like some of that essence and energy in some of these posts of like, you have to be this and you have to be that. So what I'm really calling forth in this conversation is like compassion, a compassionate, inspiring way of like bringing people into their truth, whatever that may be, and not telling someone they need to be one thing or the other, or projecting your own experience onto someone else. It just is not, it's not like oiling my gears, you know, it's not getting going.
And, well, and to piggyback off what you're saying too, there's a lot around how the man needs to provide safety for the woman, or a man needs to provide provision, like whether that's money and a home and all these things for a woman. And I think that if that's your polarity you want to live in, then that's great, but I don't think that's necessary. And I think that sometimes, from my own experience and from good friends of mine who follow teachings like this, I've seen them really giving their power away because they're outsourcing their safety to a man. They're outsourcing their ability to provide for themselves to a man. And if that's your like agreement and you're in a committed relationship, that's one thing. But if you're dating someone and you're just expecting them to provide for you and expecting them to keep you safe, unfortunately, we can't outsource these things. Safety comes from within. So I do feel that in a way, those posts can also be a little bit disorienting from true empowerment and recognizing that we have that power within ourselves. And that really needs to be reclaimed, like that inner provider, that inner sense of safety. We're never going to feel safe. Even if it's the safest man in the world, even if it's the wealthiest man in the world, we're never going to feel safe if we don't feel safe within ourselves. So that's just one thing I also wanted to share around these roles. And men need to feel safe too. I think men, it's more important than ever for men to feel safe, because men have historically not had safe places to share and be supported in their emotional processes like women have. And in order for men to, I feel like so much healing on the planet is going to be happening through men connecting to their hearts and their emotions and feeling things that they haven't felt. And in order for men to do that, they need to feel safe too. It's not just about them making us feel safe. Like, we need to provide safe spaces for them to feel safe. And I feel like that's equally as important. So yeah, it's kind of like hurting my heart actually. Going deeper into this, because you just feel like it's not one-sided. We all need safety. Every human being needs safety. It's like a core fundamental human need is to feel safe. It's not just a feminine thing. So
I'm curious how you feel about this, Corwin, because what's coming up like for me is that we need men to provide safety for us. Like, it's just it's so clear in my channel. Like, yes, I can provide safety for myself, but like the highest expression of that is by surrendering to like a masculine and needing them and saying like, I need you. Like, in order for my mission to be fulfilled, like that's what's coming through. So I'm just curious what's alive in
and
you.
I just want to say one more thing before Corwin jumps in. And it's not that men can't amplify our safety. Of course, they're going to amplify our safety. And having a man by your side is the best superpower ever. It's going to make you feel more safe. It's going to help you to root deeper and surrender deeper, of course. But I think that saying we need them, like in the collective, we need them. But I really think that like we need to find that within our own inner masculine first. And then in the world, then we can actually open up to receive safety and support from the masculine in our lives. But everything has to start from within. So I'm not saying that we don't need men around us to keep us safe. Of course we do, and the collective especially. But like, also we can't neglect the fact that we have to learn how to keep ourselves safe first and foremost. That inner masculine needs to come to life first and foremost. Because if that inner masculine, inner provider, inner protector is not initiated, then we're going to continue to seek that in the external, but we're not really going to be able to receive it and feel safe until we have initiated that within first. So it's not, again, it's not that that's not real and that's not a need, but it has to start from within first. And that's all I'm saying. That's like the foundation. And I really believe that. Anyway, so yeah, take it away, Corwin.
I mean, the universe we live in is immensely complex and immensely simple at the same time. And I think our process is constantly grappling with that complexity and simplicity at the same time. Because in its simplicity, yes, there's only two dualities. There's space and there's form. But then it gets into like immense amount of fractals from there. And we could also say we need people, or we don't, but like, or we don't need anything, but like try to survive without anything. And so there is like simultaneously we need each other and simultaneously we don't need each other. And to like rest in that polarity and that duality I think we can find immense power because, and also within relationships, like it is okay to like feel like you need your partner. That's like love. That's that feeling of love, of wanting to be around that person. That's what bonds two people together. At the same time, like I highly value sovereignty and allowing one's like unique destiny to unfold in their life. But if you're just in yourself and in your unique destiny, you're not gonna need to be around any a partner. You're not gonna experience the benefit and beauty of having someone that you need. And to me, need is an interesting word because I think a lot of people decipher need as like a biological need, which is like to eat and drink, but actually a need is more so is like a desire. So like if you need to feel safe, there's particular needs that you, or particular attributes that you need in order to feel safe. There's things that you need to experience something that you want to experience. So to me, a need is like for example of like creating safety, like I need somebody to like be able to listen to me in order to feel heard. So that is a need. It's not that you would die without that, but in order to feel heard, you need someone that's listening. So I think we have to like embrace the duality of a lot of different things. And I think just back to the words, I think not dismissing the words that already exist and also honoring that there are billions, probably infinite amount of dualities within us and within the world. And masculine and feminine are two dualities that exist, and they exist in a particular perception, in a particular mind view. And I think those need to be honored, as well as yin and yang. Yin and yang are not masculine and feminine. They're completely different energies. And I think we oftentimes like clump up words together to make it, to make us try to understand those words, but they are also their own unique entities in themselves. They're like, and the thing about duality, and that's what I was speaking to in the beginning, is having something that's the opposite simultaneously. Reason black and white are opposites are because they're both colors. They are the same thing. They, or like the absence of color or the absence of no color, there's a relationship between them. And so that's where the duality also becomes the similarity, and the like polarity becomes the unification. And so in terms of men providing safety for women, I think that's an amazing gift that a man could choose to do, or they and at the same time it's something that you can choose for yourself. But like I said, there's not like a set. Everything has its place in the world, and I think sometimes things are misplaced. Sometimes a man creating shape, so and then we can, and so within this like mass complexity of what to do, when to do it, there's also just the simplicity of like knowing the right what like most conducive to your relationship or yourself.
I got the essence of what you were sharing, but you were breaking up a bit, so but I felt it. Oh, I felt God. We felt it.
Yeah, I'm sure you got it.
I know, like, we're about to wrap soon, but like what was just coming up in your share also is like our own lives and experiences have created like specific frequencies around these words, and we're also bringing those stories with us. So like for me, just in what you were sharing, was like what safety is for me. And safety is like a place where I feel celebrated, seen, and heard to be all of me. Right. Whereas like someone else might define safety based on like financial elements and like there's a physical home built for me and I feel safe from the storm. Like mine is more energetic. It's like I surround myself with people who like energetically feel like a home, like they can like protect me from a storm and I can like feel safe to dance and move and be in that home without like getting attacked by a bear, you know? So anyway, I just wanted to like share that nuance, and yeah, I feel like we could just keep talking about this for like it. 100 years.
Yeah.
So maybe we can.
I want to say one more thing in response to all this, and then Heather, maybe you can wrap us. But yeah, like the inside and the outside, I guess. I just want to reframe what I said. I don't even think it's a step thing where something needs to be in a certain order. I think it's actually more simultaneously happening. Whereas the more safe that we feel within ourselves, and the more safety we provide ourselves, the external world will just naturally match that and vice versa. And so I don't think, again, it's like a right or a wrong thing. And I also think that everyone's on their own journeys of safety. Maybe for some people, they're really good at keeping themselves safe, and their medicine is actually learning how to receive safety from others. And maybe other people like me have had a really easy time relying on other people, overly relying on other people for safety. And my medicine is learning how to provide safety for myself. So again, I don't think that's necessarily a man or woman thing. I think it's just very unique and different for everyone. Mm-hmm. And knowing what your medicine is, like that's, if I could just put this whole episode, put a bow on it, I would say just know thyself and know your medicine and know where you are and what you need. And as long as you're following your true node, wherever you are on that polarity and that journey, it's perfect.
Yeah. And I think on that, like, if you don't know, that's okay. Because like what happens in the collective is like, before we know, before the dawn, there's darkness. And like, I feel like we're in this collective space of feeling kind of confused and overwhelmed. So like, it's also okay if you don't know, and maybe in that space, bringing some gentle curiosity to where you are and like why you're feeling the way you're feeling could feel supportive. Cause we know we've shared a lot of information in this connective collaborative call. And so there's a lot to digest and feel into, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on all of this. Like, please comment below, share this if you think someone would resonate with us with this. And this is an ongoing transformative like conversation that's going to continue to change and evolve as we do every single moment. So this is by no means like it, you know? So yeah, we'd love to hear from you. And before we do an official wrap and I wrap you all in a bow, now that Corwin is back, I would just love to hear if there's anything else coming through your channel that you would like to share. And then also, I'm very curious how people can get in touch with you if they want to build something incredibly beautiful and heart-centered in their life and or work with you in another way. Can you guide us to that space, please?
Yes. I mean, my devotion in this life is to create sanctuary and safe space for people, and homes and villages are part of what I see as a safety, creating the food networks needed, creating the houses that feel beautiful and nourishing, and the systems that help us to relate in a healthy way. And right now I am redesigning a website called Soul Haven that works on the physical and spiritual or unphysical forms of creating cohesiveness in a village. But in the meantime, you're welcome to email me at Corwin, Corwin, and Mandel, Mandel, or you could go to my old website, healingearthhomes.com. And I think within these creating, I mean, the thing about homes is that it's using form to create space. And so that's the duality of this life. And so really what I'm creating is the space inside of it, but to create the space, you need form. And that's the infinite duality of holding, to me, the masculine, the feminine, and the basic form. And working with the land and working with the feminine aspect of construction, which has been a very patriarchal art form for a long time, and creating a more organic, intuitive way of building. And that's my inspiration and my devotion with life.
Beautiful. Thank you for creating safe spaces on the planet. And thank you for like creating and holding the space today for us to be able to have this really vulnerable and expansive conversation. And I just feel so grateful that you were able to join us today and provide your unique and really, yeah, heart-centered perspective. It's the best way to put it. So yeah, grateful for you, Elf, and your channel. Thank you. All of you who joined us today and are watching this from another time space dimension, we really appreciate you tuning into this episode of Taboo Talks, and we literally wouldn't be here without you. So please don't miss a single second of these conversations where we continue traversing the new earth with leading minds and hearts. And feel free to subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Be sure to look out for Cis Society Taboo Talks. And again, if this resonated, please, please, please share. Share these conversations, like, comment, subscribe. It all supports us so deeply to continue serving a piece of our medicine here to you. And if you're interested in joining the conversation, please send us a message on our Instagram at Cis Society World to be added to our private WhatsApp community where your important voice gets to be heard. And in the interim, we invite you to stay sensual, stay curious, and remember the only thing taboo is not talking about it. We'll see you all next time.